studies in Ephesians 4 and into Ephesians 5. Mel read to us a long section from Ephesians 4 last week, and the reading this morning from Romans is a very, very similar passage. And today's service is all about remembering the Lord, and it is a service of communion. But in considering the texts that we've been looking at in the scriptures, communion with God and with one another is a deeply, deeply special thing to the Lord. Our Lord God is holy, and he calls us to be holy. It says in the scriptures, "Be holy as I am holy." And we remember that we looked a bit, we remembered Moses coming to see the burning bush. And the Lord said to him, "Moses, stop, take off your shoes, for the ground on which you stand is holy." And it wasn't because Moses had been made holy, it was because the Lord God was there. And he'd called Moses into his presence. And we are called into the presence of God. The Lord Jesus himself said on the night that he was betrayed, "Remember me when you come together." And we are coming together this morning in memory of Christ, in memory and appreciation of the forgiveness that the Lord established. We'll just have a refreshed look at Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment, just to refresh ourselves of the verses. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." We'll look at a few more sections in a moment, but in preparing for our gathering today, my thoughts went to what was shared last week, which was, we are made in the likeness of God. And we know in Christian doctrine that the Lord God Almighty is three persons in one: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when the Apostle Paul is writing to the different Christian congregations, at the time that he was writing, in the era of the Roman Empire, he wrote to many communities, places like Ephesus, Thessalonica, and obviously Rome. And in the time that he lived in, there were temples all over the Roman Empire to a whole plethora of gods. There were gods and goddesses. Even Caesar, the Roman Emperor, had temples. They made temples in Ephesus, not just to Artemis, but also to Domitian, the Roman Emperor, and other Roman Emperors. The reason they hated the Christians so much in Rome was because Christians and Jews would not bow their head and worship Caesar, whereas the Romans were quite happy to. But also, the culture in which the church existed was one of tremendous immorality. People would divorce wives at the drop of a hat, remarry. They would abandon all evidence or essence of holy living. The customs and practices were brutal. Death was always close, not just from illness and disease, but the times that people lived in were brutal. The way in which people spoke wasn't always speaking words of thanksgiving or love, as we are called to be. And basically, you could say it wasn't a very holy community or culture to live in. And I'm not sure if we went back into Rome in a time machine and compared what you saw in Rome with the way that the world is going these days, but it feels as if the culture is godless, and the Bible does talk about a godless culture. People worship themselves rather than the Creator. They've forgotten that God even exists in the world. But not so in the church. Paul reminds all of us to lead lives that are holy. He says, you can be sure of this, that everyone who's sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous or jealous, envious, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time, you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and try and discern what is pleasing to God. Understand what is the will of God. Some preachers these days will go around telling you that the will of God is for you to have a happy, fulfilled, satisfied life, and that God loves you so much, he wants nothing more for you than that you have a successful, happy, wealthy, healthy, joyful life. And they make the mistake of promising people that God wants to bless them endlessly into all of those things. But that's not what Jesus Christ said. He said to his disciples, you will have trouble in this life. Pick up your cross and follow me. If you follow the path of Christ, it is not an easy one because it clashes with the culture. But in considering the verses that we're looking at and in considering the emblems and symbols of communion, I'd like to take a bit of time just to consider the holiness of God and the holiness that we see in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that setting, to try and get an idea of how we should live as Christians, can you imagine what the quality of life could be like if we had access to just a glimpse into eternity and we could see the way in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were with one another? We won't be able to, but the Bible tells us consistently from start to end that the Lord God is holy. You wouldn't imagine that there would be foul language, anger, hatred, impatience, selfishness, or anything of that nature in God or the Godhead, because we know that the Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Holy Spirit loves both, and that the Father sent his Son because he loves us, to be a sacrifice and a substitution for sin. And in accepting the Lord, we become joined to him. So in one sense, we are to live and lead a holy life, because that is what we are called to do. When the scriptures say, be imitators of God, it's calling us to a life of not just holiness, but of love for one another, to come together in communion. And this idea of togetherness, we see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live together, they coexist in perfect holiness and in perfect love. And they've called us into sharing our life with him, with them. And that's it's a deep thing to try and grasp, but in a very, very simple way, to just think to ourselves, well, God is holy. He is set apart so far from anything else because he is so holy. He lives in impossible light. You couldn't go near him. You couldn't approach him without falling down. In the scriptures, we see that whenever God appears, people just fall. Isaiah said, "Woe to me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips," when God called him to be a prophet. I don't know how you felt when you first heard the gospel, but you came to that moment of salvation when you said that prayer and said, "Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to wash away my sin." It was probably a moment of realization that God was God and we were people. And the difference between us and the Lord is enormous. One of the things that the Lord says in the scriptures is try and discern what is the will of God. Well, in a community of believers, it's to love one another. And it was lovely this morning that so many people came together and we've worked together, we've cooperated to make the service this morning something special. And in the chapter of Ephesians 5, towards the end of verses 20 and 21, Paul says, "Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And the scriptures tell us that we are members one of another and to submit to one another. In the period of time that Paul was writing, the idea of submission had two meanings. Everybody would have recognized it. Firstly, as a military term, it would be the idea that you would arrange a whole group of people, soldiers, under the command of one leader. And to submit had the idea that there was a group of people that would submit in deference to a leader who was in a position of authority. And it reminds us a little bit of that passage in Luke that Paul touched on recently, our pastor, when he was talking about the Roman centurion who asked the Lord, he sent a messenger to say, "Will you please heal my servant who I love? I'm a man under authority, and I know that you just need to say the word." And there was that idea of submission, a centurion, a leader. But the centurion recognized that the Lord Jesus was God and that the Lord Jesus only had to say what his will was and it would be done. He had faith in God. But in a non-military sense, it's a voluntary attitude of cooperation. The way in which one of the meanings was to carry a burden for others. And in the fellowship of believers, the Lord would wish that we would carry one another's burdens. And love tells us to prefer others. It says in the scriptures, try and outdo one another in doing good and showing love. And we've prayed for people today that are loved by us. We remember them, we miss them. But the scriptures encourage us to maintain that as a standard in our community, to recognize that we belong to one another. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, that he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And one of the things to focus on there is that we have an independent responsibility as an individual believer to walk in holiness with God ourselves, and in the same way to live that way with one another. And the importance of holiness is very, very special to God. When he called Moses and he called the people of Israel out and into the wilderness, he said to them, be holy, be separate. As you go through the nations around you on the way to Canaan, I will lead you, I will go before you, I'll never leave you, but live holy, live as a people that know me. And he told them, I don't want you to intermarry with the tribes around you. I don't want you to pick up their ways, their habits, lest they be a snare for you. And of course, we know that over time, the people of Israel turned their backs on God, and God was displeased with them in the wilderness, to the point that they had to spend 40 years wandering around until the Lord basically got rid of that generation. But he also wanted them to rid the area around them of certain tribes as well. People often think of the God of the Old Testament as a different God than the God of the New, but he isn't. It says in the scriptures, I am the Lord, I do not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord Jesus was in the Godhead when the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And holiness is what he called all of us to. The reason that we were separated in the garden was because we disobeyed God. We took on a knowledge of good and evil through the deception and disobedience that came from that interaction with Satan. But it led man rapidly to descend into a way of life that so provoked God that it says in the scriptures that he repented of ever making man. And the flood was his response to that level of sin. If we were to consider the flood, it gives us a picture, a grave picture, a picture of very, very serious standards that the Lord God has. It says in Genesis that the earth was filled with violence and man's heart was turned constantly to that way of life. And the culture was absolutely turned away from God. When Noah was called to build the ark, it took 100 years for that ark to be built. So for 100 years, there was a voice saying to the people around, God is going to do something about this sin. And doesn't seem as if anybody paid any attention. And we know the story of the flood. But God preserved a remnant, as he always does. And there was a start again. But sin was inherently there. Then came the law, which God gave through Moses, which was to allow people who follow him, the Jewish nation at the time, but anyone could join the Jews. It wasn't exclusive. God told them, if a stranger comes in to your camp, love them, honor them, because you too were strangers in a strange land yourselves. And the call goes out to all through the gospel, come in to this holy community. So for us as individual believers, we need to walk in holiness ourselves, and in our lives towards one another, we must remember to hold up to the standards that the Lord Jesus lived by, and try and remember too that what we see in the Godhead is what we should hopefully see lived out in the church, because the church must get it right. If the world around us doesn't see us getting it right with one another, then they are not going to even consider giving their lives to Christ or even believing that God is holy. Because if having God in our lives and the salvation that the Lord Jesus gave us on the pain of his own death, if that doesn't draw us to a life of holy living and love, then our witness may not be sufficient either. Jesus said to the disciples, didn't he? A new command I give you, love one another, for in this way all men will know that you are my disciples. And it's not easy. I'm a human being. I am far from perfect. You can ask Sharon or Gloria. But to recognize that we need to ask the Lord to help us, he will. He loves us so much that he gave us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee. When you became a Christian, you were sealed. And the promise that was given was that the Holy Spirit would dwell in you. Communion today is to bring out how that communion exists. We are actually in a living relationship with God. Jesus said to the disciples, I and the Father will make our home in you. There was an intimacy that is beautiful. There's some discussion in theology, which I am not an expert in, not at all. But they talk about marriage, human marriage, husband, a man, a wife, a woman, coming together and being one. And then later, through that oneness, you may have children and there's a family. So the first child, obviously, there'll be three. And there's a reflection there, a picture, in a sense, an imitation on one level of what God said when he said, let us make man in our image. And of course, the us and the our refers to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In one sense, you could think of them as a family, but not like us. And we then, when he made man and woman, produced eventually a family as well. And God's desire was that that family would multiply and multiply and fill the earth, but fill the earth with the holy life that he wished us to have in the first place. So in coming to consider what it means to be members of one another, in the scriptures in Corinthians, it says that you become, he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And Paul touches on an incident where he says, "If would you join your body with that of a prostitute?" It's not a pleasant picture, but when he talks about people becoming one, in the Greek, the idea of the word there is to be glued. And when I thought about the idea of being glued to Christ and being glued as members of one another, it really brought out the absolute closeness and firmness, a bond that can't be broken. And if we think about it, the bond that we have can't be broken. The Lord gave his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to us. When God makes a covenant promise and says, if you put your faith and trust in my Son, I will give you eternal life. Nobody can take us out of his hand. That bond that God glued us to him with is stronger than anything. Nothing will break that. It's not like a tube of glue you buy in the local shop to fix a broken mug or something. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But God's guarantee is utterly reliable. There's no doubt of it. So in concluding, in Scripture, in Ephesians 5:15, it talks about what our life should be like. It says to have a life of thanksgiving, and we've done that this morning. To walk as children of light. So where we walk, let's radiate light. Let's show that light. Let it expose things that perhaps aren't good, but also let that light shine out because it shows the life of Christ in us. It says, discern what is pleasing to the Lord. If you're not sure what the Lord's will is, we've got the Bible to tell us. And there's all sorts of lists of do's and don'ts, but let's try and do the do's rather than the don'ts. It says, look carefully how you walk and be wise. Paul's often talking about the church and uses the image of the human body and saying that all members of the body are important to each other. You couldn't have a body without a toe or an ear or a nose. It's not just the brain or the eyes that hold centre stage. All parts work together. So be wise. Think about life. Think about what the Lord wants. Be filled with the Spirit and speak the word to each other. And always give thanks, submitting to all. So we will come now to communion. Let's remember what the Lord did for us. Before we take communion, we'll just read 1 Corinthians 11 from verses 23 onwards.